Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Is it cold enough for you? Don't you hate when people say that? What does that mean? No, I'd prefer it colder, actually. Is it cold enough for you, moron? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. There you have it. So, Happy New Year. Everybody's been saying that. What's the statute of limitations on that? Are we there yet? What is it today? Today's like the 10th. Let's just decide. Y'all want to decide right now? Want to take a vote? Let's decide. This is it. You can't say Happy New Year anymore after today. The 10th. 10-day, you get a 10-day grace period, and then no more Happy New Year. But Happy New Year nonetheless. Glad you guys are here. I have a question for you. How many of you guys made, and I can't really see, so you got to clap. How many of you, by applause, how many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? All right. Be honest. How many of you have already broken them? Liars. Liars, all of you. All of you. But we like the idea of starting over, right? It's kind of fun. We like December comes, we have Christmas, and then January comes, and it's a new year. We have this whole thought process of, you know, we get to start over, we get to begin anew. The things we don't like about ourselves, we get to change them. And it's very exciting. So we make New Year's resolutions, right? You all said it. And if I had to guess, I'd say your resolutions are probably something like, you know, you decided this year, this is going to be the year, right? That's how you always say it. Like every other year was different. But this is going to be the year that, you know, you read more books and you watch television, right? That one's really funny. That you get in shape. You know, I was at the, I didn't join a new gym. I changed the gyms. And, man, it was slam-packed this week. And I kind of want to just start taking pictures of people and be like, are you going to be here in a month? Because you're in my spot. And I need to know if I need to change my workout schedule or if you're going to be gone. My bet is B. You know, but we say, you know, better things like, you know, we're going to spend more time with our friends, with family. Some people would say, you know, it's New Year. I'm gonna get back in church because a lot of us are from the South and you're just supposed to go to church, right? That's just what you do on Sundays in the South. But here's how it works. You start out great. That's probably why none of you clapped. Because like you're like, no, man, I'm 10 days in. I've really done well this time. I'm gonna hold it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to change. But after a couple weeks, a couple months, things start to slip away. You start to, you know, kind of taper off on your passion, on your enthusiasm. And come December of 2010, a lot of you will be making New Year's resolutions that are exactly the same ones you're making right now. Right? I mean, let's be honest here. We can talk. And so I was thinking about that as we were starting 2010. You know, we're a brand new church. I was trying to figure out how to start 2010. I know I wanted to talk about change. I wanted to talk about how we can change, you know, how we can become better people or whatever it is. Because, you know, we need it, I think. I think we could all change. I think we all have places to improve. But also, it's built into the culture. We think about it. We expect to think about change and to try to change in January. Everybody does it. Everybody. January 1, new year, new you, time to change. So, one question kept coming back to my head over and over and over. And the question was, why is it so difficult? Because I'm quite certain every single one of you who made a New Year's resolution on January 1st got up and decided, or whenever you made your list, you were like, this is what I'm going to do. I am sure of it. I'm going to change. And I don't think you're liars. I don't think you were just making it up. But I mean, you were laughing earlier because we never seem to get it. We never seem to stick. We never seem to hold to those ideas, and that bothers me. And so I was thinking about it, and if you haven't picked up on it yet, if it's your first time, my mind tends to wander. I'll think about one thing, and it'll kind of move me on to the next. And so I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, and I actually began to think about the word resolution. I started pondering on the word resolution. This is a pretty common word we all talk about. We all talk about New Year's resolutions. But it occurred to me as I was thinking about the word resolution that there are a ton of meanings of the word resolution. And so, at that point, I was just kind of thinking about it. But sometimes when I think about things, I kind of feel like God's leading me to a place. So I started thinking about it, and it kind of occurred to me, wait a minute, there's a lot of different definitions of resolution, and all those definitions are kind of important. There's a couple. You saw them on the screen earlier. The first one, resolution means to end a conflict, right? To bring resolution to the conflict. You all heard about that. You're fighting. You bring a resolution to it. The one we're all familiar with, resolution means a firm decision, right? I'm going to make a resolution. I'll make a decision. There's another one. Maybe you've heard of like a city council or Congress or somebody else making a public resolution. They make an announcement to the world. And see, as I thought about all those, and we're going to unpack those over the next few weeks, it occurred to me that each one of those definitions, each one of those understandings of the word resolution is a key to understanding why we can't really make the changes in our life that we want to. It has nothing to do with willpower. It has nothing to do with desire. It's that we don't understand the word resolution. We don't understand all the sides to it. Hence, this series, resolution. We're going to redefine the word, and I'm positive, if you open yourself up, if you allow him to, the God of the universe will transform your life. That's the goal. That's our point here. So, today we're actually going to talk about a definition of resolution that wasn't listed there. But I would bet all the money in my pockets, which isn't a ton, but I would bet it that the definition we're going to talk about today, the guys are much more familiar with than the ladies, with this word resolution. All right, again, by applause. How many men or women, maybe you do too, how many of you guys want or have a high definition television? Man, y'all are in church and yeah, I have one. It's okay to have one. Everybody's like, is this a trick? Can I clap? I don't know. He's gonna get me. No, but if you're a guy, you probably thought about high definition televisions. Maybe you have one. And so if you do, this word resolution means something different to you. You've heard resolution. You've thought about resolution. You've tried to decide, am I going to get the 720p or the 1080i, or am I going to get the 1080p? Woo! 1080p. You know, you think about it now for those who are less geeky than me, because I know what it means, make it very clear. Resolution is, it doesn't really mean it, but basically it's how clear the image is, all right? And I'm actually going to I'm going to illustrate it for you right now. The lower the resolution, the less clear the image. So let's go ahead and throw the first graphic up there, all right? See, this is an image with very low resolution, very low. I think there's maybe like 50 pixels up there right now on the screen. So it's very low resolution. So let's raise the resolution just a little bit. Did you go to the next one? I can't tell. Okay. All right, so it gets a little clearer. Let's keep going. Okay, see, what's actually happening, resolution, I'm just going to nerdify you for just a little bit longer. Just bear with me. Resolution actually refers to the number of lines or pixels on the screen. So there's literally more information on the screen right now. So let's go ahead and go to the next one. You probably knew what it was anyway. But yeah, that's what the image looks like with even more data, with more information. So the higher the resolution goes, the higher the resolution goes, the clearer the image. Because there's more data. Maybe you've heard, if you have a television, if you have one of those old four, 4x3, but you don't know what that means. The TV you had forever, up until maybe 5 years ago, it's a 4:3 screen, has 480 resolution is what they call it, and then high definition has 720 lines or even 1080 lines, and you're all bored, and we're going to move on. But that's what resolution means. And to kind of help, it's basically the more dots you have, the better you can see. Okay. If you have a laptop or anything, it works the same way. The more dots, the clearer you can see. A lot of you probably have digital cameras. I'll bring the ladies back now. You have digital cameras. you know, and you worry about the megapixels. How many megapixels are there? You know, is it 4, 6, 8, 12? Again, it's just the more megapixels, the more data, the more information. So what you want, if you're like me and you want the absolute clearest, bestest picture imaginable, you want high resolution. You want very, very high resolution. More data, more information, more lines, and it's clearer. And the truth is, it's kind of intuitive, right? I mean, if you think about it, you all can kind of understand that just from anything in life. The more information you get on a subject, the clearer the picture is. All right, let's say you're not single, maybe you're married today, maybe you have some friends who are single, or you can remember back to high school when you know, there was a big breakup. Ooh, the big breakup. And you were friends with both the people that broke up. Right? So what would you get? You would get his side of the breakup. You'd get her side of the breakup. And then you'd have to figure out what the truth was, right? Because neither one of them had given you the truth. There's his side, there's her side, and there's the truth. But as you got more information, more data, you were able to see the picture clearly. Right? Well, say you're interested, like me. I'm really, really very interested in history. Love studying it, love studying the politics of it and all that kind of stuff. I'm fascinated by World War II. I can't just read one book on World War II and say, all right, I've got to figure it out. I understand it now. You know, the scholars who are real, you know, who teach World War II, they literally read hundreds of books. They look at government documents. They visit battle sites. They visit graves. And they get all the information they can, all the data, all the input, and it makes the picture clearer for them. It's a good thing, right? It's a great thing. We admire that about people. We admire someone who can get all the information from all different points of view and can then form their own conclusion. Now, I know you know there's a but in here somewhere. But what's happened, and it's not a new phenomenon, it's been going on forever. It kind of goes in waves, and it's back right now. And it's more powerful than ever because we have so much information, because we have the availability of so much data, so much input, and we've trained our brains to think the higher the resolution, the better we see. That what we've done, what I've done on occasion, what I believe many of you have done at some point in your life, maybe even now, is that we apply this concept to God. More specifically, we apply it to our relationship with God, to how we connect with God, to how we speak with God, to how we interact with God, to who God really is, to how we spend eternity with God. We want more data. Because it's like that picture, man. We're just looking at it. When there was just a few dots on the screen, none of you knew what it was. But the more information we had, the more data, the more points, the clearer we felt like it worked. So here's how we do that with God. Here's what we do. Maybe you have this idea. It's the new year. Yeah. This God thing, yeah, I think you might be true. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to explore spirituality. Is what we call it now. I'm going to explore spirituality. So you come to church, you know, you check that out. Maybe you read the Bible, maybe a little bit. Check that out. But here's what happens. That's standard def, man. That's not enough data. That's not enough information. I got to be broader than that. I got to better understand God than that. There's no way that it's really that simple. More information is better. So I got to get more. So we open up and we explore, you know, pretty much, let's be honest, whatever religion you kind of hear about in the news. You know, a couple weeks ago, it was a big deal that Tiger Woods is a Buddhist. Whatever, not touching it. But people are, check out, well, Tiger Woods, he's a Buddhist. Let's check out Buddhism. That's kind of interesting. More input, more data, you know. Let's check out Kabbalah, because Madonna's still cool. And Madonna's into Kabbalah, so let's check that out. You know, the idea of, I've had people say this, Trey, come on, man. Let's be honest. There's a lot of different ways to God. I'm just trying to figure out all the pathways. I'm just trying to have my mind open. And then there's the ultimate that even I have a hard time disputing, Oprah. I mean, come on. If Oprah says it, you believe it. All right? And what ends up happening is we take this concept, maybe without even knowing it, of resolution, of high resolution, this concept we've been fed, we've taught, and we've seen that more data, more information equals clarity. And we say, I want an HD God. I want all the data. I don't want to know what just one group thinks about. I want to experience all of it. You want to be open-minded. And I understand today, for many of you in this room, narrow-minded, being narrow-minded is a curse word. I mean, you'd rather me call you, you know, a thief than to call you narrow-minded. And on a vast majority of issues, I would agree with you that being narrow-minded isn't a good thing, that we need to be open to other people's opinions, open to other people's views. But here's the problem. Here's the issue. All right? For a lot of you today, your God resolution, your input is off the charts. If it was an HD television, it would be the most expensive HD TV they made, because you're getting data from so many places. You've opened your eyes and you've looked around and you're letting this person, what they think influence you, and what this religion thinks influence you, and what that religion thinks influences you, and what that person who's not religious but they're spiritual, what they think influences you. And so your God resolution is off the charts. But your life hasn't changed one bit. Every 12 months, like clockwork, you write out a list of new resolutions, of new things you want to change, and it never, ever, ever works. So here's the question. Why not? Why not? I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Your God resolution is off the charts. You're listening to what Oprah says and what Deepak Chopra says, and you're reading The Secret. And you're thinking really, really hard. That's not working. It's not working. See, now we're getting somewhere. Because there's a missing ingredient. There's a crucial piece that you're missing, that I was missing in my life at a certain time. And it's a piece that actually works for the definition of resolution. It's a piece that is required for every television. It was required as we were looking at the things on the screen. You have to have it to see. All right, the reason you can see your television clearly, the reason those HDTVs look so good with their high resolutions, it looks so great, it's not just because of how much data is on the screen. It's because there's light. If there were no light, you could not see the screen. All the data, all the information, pointless, useless. ineffective. Fail. Wouldn't work. So my point today, my argument, as we head into 2010, I've been told it's 2010, not 2010. So I'll say 2010 because I like to be hip. So as we enter 2010, just ask yourself this question. It's not about God resolution. It's not about how much data you're getting about God. It's not about how many influences you're getting to try to point you towards God. It's, are you tapped in? Do you have access? Do you have light? Do you have light? And I believe that the light is a person. I want to read to you John 8, book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. This is Jesus talking, and he says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. You can have light. You can access the light. See, that's the thing. Jesus is ready and willing right now to begin a relationship with you that'll transform your life. And it'll turn the light on all those things. Because this is what light does. Light explains the data. Light explains the information in your life. Light illuminates the darkness. It clarifies. It shows what's supposed to be and what's not supposed to be. This screen, you couldn't see a thing if there was no light on it. This room, you couldn't see anything if there was no light in it. And light's been something God's talked about since the beginning. All right, light's mentioned over 270 times in the Bible, and here's why. It's because he wants to illuminate our lives. He wants to illuminate our understandings. He knows that we're walking in darkness without him. Maybe you've heard me talk about that before. Unfortunately for us, we're born trapped. We're born basically at odds with God because God's perfect and we aren't. And we sin and we make mistakes and we go against God. And so we're separated from God. And God is light. So being separated from God is darkness. And the only way to get back to God is through his son, Jesus. Through a relationship with him. That's the only way to get back to the light. Back to Jesus, who is the light. And when we do that, when we begin that experience with him, you've heard the expression, you know, oh, I've seen the light. Boom, light bulb came on. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. All these things, all these inputs, all these decisions we make, everything changes when you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you still have questions? Yes. Do you still have confusions? Yes. But you have light. I want to tell you a story real quick. It's out of the Bible. It's one of my favorite stories of Jesus interacting with people. Jesus healed a lot of people. One of the guys he healed was a blind man. And Jesus, he's so silly. Jesus healed this guy on what the Jewish people called the Sabbath, which was their day of rest. And Jesus healed this guy on their day of rest. And there were some religious dudes who lived back then who really didn't like Jesus, because they weren't really in it for a relationship with God. They were in it for power, because they saw religion as a way to control the people to get what they want. And so that's what they were doing. And then Jesus comes along saying, no, you can have a personal relationship with God. And it freaked them out, because they were like, wait, if they have a personal relationship, then we lose power and we lose money, and that's not good. And so they looked for ways to get Jesus, to attack him, to make bad things happen to him. They wanted to kill him, and they ended up succeeding. But what they did here is Jesus heals this blind man on the Sabbath. He worked on the Sabbath, and so they freaked out. So they go to the blind man after Jesus is gone, and they start interrogating him. They start asking him questions. They start saying, Well, how did he heal you? I mean, if he healed you on the Sabbath, he's got to be evil, right? And the blind man didn't really know what to say. And he goes, well, honestly, he's a sinner. He's got to be a sinner if he healed you on the Sabbath. He's a sinner. He's evil, right? The blind man still didn't know what to say. And they just kept pushing him, wanting him to bash Jesus. And I want you to see what the blind man says back. This is in John 9:25. He says, I don't know whether he's a sinner. The man said, I don't know. I don't know whether he is a sinner, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. I was blind, and now I can see. That's what a relationship with Jesus does. That's what the light does. That's what light does in here. That's what light does. It cuts through. It pierces darkness. And my prayer today is some of you in this room need to stop looking for more information. You need to stop trying to gather more data about God. You need to stop trying to get your God resolution higher with the hope that the more open-minded and enlightened I become about God, the clearer things are going to become, and the clearer I'm going to see, and the easier I'm going to be able to transform my life. Because it ain't worked. It's not going to. You need an encounter with the light so that Jesus can show you what's true and what's not, what's real and what's not. And the beauty about what this guy said, he didn't know anything. He didn't know if Jesus was a sinner or not. He didn't know who he was. He knew he'd had an encounter with God and it had changed his life and he believed it. And that's the beauty about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am a pastor. I've been in full-time ministry for 10 years. When I was in college, I studied religion. After college, I went to seminary and spent 3 years studying the Bible, languages, history. I have a master's degree in it. And I've done it every day for 10 years of my life. And I still have questions. I still doubt sometimes. I still worry. Because I'm human. I don't know all the answers, and I never will. So if you're looking for a church where the pastor knows all the answers, we're not your place. But here's what I know. Over and over and over and over and over again in my life, I've had genuine encounters with the living God that I can't deny. He stepped in. He's orchestrated things. He's saved things. He's fixed things. Basically, what I can say is that I was blind, and now I see. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the knowledge. But I've experienced it. I've experienced the light. I was blind. Now I'm not. And the cool thing about God, the thing I love, and we're going to wrap up, the thing I love about God is that this was his plan from the very beginning. Last thing I want to show you is in Matthew 4. It's a little bit, Matthew 4:13-17. And this is what it says. It's talking about Jesus when he began his ministry. All right, he says, he first went to Nazareth and then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, into the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said to the prophet Isaiah. What God said to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet that prophesied when the kingdom of Israel fell and they were taken into captivity into Babylon. At least 1,000 years prior. This is what he said. This is what Isaiah says. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. Hold on, don't go to the next one. So Matthew tells us, this is what Jesus is doing. And then he says, and oh, by the way, this is what Isaiah said about 1,000 years ago. So it's pretty important. I'm proving something here. So he travels to all these places, and here's why. Go to the next one. It's because the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. And then from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I know you may not feel like it. I know you may not want to admit it. But we are people who sit in darkness. And we need to see a great light. And the reason I know that, and the reason you know that right now, even if you don't, is because as I'm talking, you're in your head thinking, you know what, he's right. But he can't be right because I'm too smart for this. I'm too open-minded for this. I'm not going to be closed-minded and pretend that there's only one way to God, really. No, I'm intelligent. I've studied all these philosophies. I've studied all these things, and they're all nice, and good people believe them. And, of course, Oprah. And so you've allowed yourself to live in darkness so long that you're used to it. Your eyes have adjusted. You think that you can see things. And so you're accumulating all this data and all this information. But what you don't know, the one thing you're missing, the one thing you need, is the one thing you can't live without, you can't move forward without. And that's the light. A relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the reason you were created, whether you know it or not. It's the resolution your heart longs for, whether you know it or not. I want you to see clearly today. I want your God resolution to be off the charts. I want you to see clearer than you've ever seen in your life. So today I offer you the key. I offer you the light. I offer you Jesus. A personal relationship with Him. And He will take care of the rest. He will illuminate the dark places. He will illuminate the confusion. He will make things clear. He will show you what information is true and what information isn't. He will make Himself known. He will provide opportunities for you to say, I don't know this, I don't know that, but what I know is I was blind and now I'm not. My life has changed. I invite you all now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to begin a journey, to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to know all the answers. You never will. You have to know this. It hasn't worked on my own. It hasn't worked what I've tried to do. My way is not cutting it anymore. I keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And I know this can't be all there is. So if that's you, if that's what you're saying in your heart right now, I invite you to pray after me in your heart what I'm going to pray aloud and genuinely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and begin a relationship with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, repeat after me. If your desire today is to stop living in darkness and to walk into the light, to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ that will radically transform your life and the lives of everyone you know, pray after me. Father, I need you. I realize I'm living in darkness. I've tried it my own way. I've tried to get all the information. But I don't need data. I need a relationship. And Father, I ask today that you begin a relationship with me through your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for what He did for me when He came to earth and paid the penalty for my mistakes so that I don't have to. And Lord, he offers it to me as a gift, and I accept it. I accept the gift he offers. I accept your forgiveness. And I agree to make you the Lord of my life and to follow you wherever your light takes me. Help me begin this relationship today.